Thank God for the blood that'll never lose its power. Praise you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior, have your way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Do you love the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. You just stay in a frame of worship and just keep your minds on the Lord. Focused on Jesus today. Hallelujah. We use the statement, I believe as Brother David was praying earlier about hiding behind the cross. Brother David, that's where I want to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He is so good. But this morning, if I could simply vanish and Jesus appear, if I could be hid and you could focus on Him, hallelujah. Let's turn to the book of Acts today. Before you stand, let me just sort of give you a heads up. I think it's important for children of God to assemble together. How many can say amen? I think it's important that we understand that we can draw strength one from another. How many understand that Pastor Ted is the under-shepherd, Jesus is the great shepherd? And what Pastor Ted wants to do is lead you to the great shepherd. Hallelujah. I know that my name is on the sign. I would, though, prefer if someone would say, let's go to the Dunville Church of God rather than let's go over to Pastor Ted's. Hear me with me on that. I would prefer not being in the spotlight. And I know some of you may think, well, Brother Ted, you're awful outspoken and boisterous. And, you know, I recall many times growing up how that when I stood up to give a book report, my knees would shake together. Nobody under here understands what I'm talking about here. You've always been bold as a lion. It's never bothered you. Recall many times finding excuses not to get before a crowd. And honestly, as I can say, I would prefer sitting on that middle seat than sitting on these ones behind here on the throne. There'd be a footnote than a headline. But I would have accomplished. And that's what I want to do. About way, a very popular scripture, your feet. Acts chapter 9, preached it numerous times. Lay daily, who was healed as two disciples. This morning's message, story that this week. How many understand that's a pretty good heads up? I run you all over the place. We're going to focus on the New Testament. The title of my message told me this. I'm going to tell you. We need to be the type of person it's in. And someone say, praise the Lord. But we're going to power. I'm going to write. Notice verse. Together into the temple, the ninth came from his mother's womb. They laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, read this with me, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Reach your hands this way, and let's agree in prayer that the Lord would have his way. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. We honor you for a wonderful plan of salvation. Thank you for the cross of Calvary, Lord, and precious blood that was shed. We celebrate our salvation today, Lord, a complete salvation that you paid for. And Father, today as we look into your word, may our minds and hearts be molded and shaped in some way. May we be challenged and stirred, Lord, to live a life that the world could see Jesus through us. Lord, I acknowledge you in all of our ways, in the way of this message, in the way of this assembly, in the way of this church, in the way of those that are traveling today that are not with us. I acknowledge you in all of our ways today that you direct our path, that you intervene in our life, that you be glorified today. We ask you to touch and minister, for it's in your holy name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now, looking at this, and again, I have to believe that Peter and John were somewhat like-minded as I am. Not that we want to draw attention to us, but how many understand that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father? He's exalted there in that heavenly place. And in order for the world to see Jesus, how many recognize that they have to see Jesus through us? So whether you know this or not, you're on trial today. You're being examined, and the life that you live will point people in one direction or the other. Now, I thought of, as I was sitting back in service earlier today during Sunday school, the Lord dropped a thought in my spirit. And thinking about this man that was laid daily at the gate. I believe a lot of folks are there. They're stuck at the gate. And they can't get in because something has kept them hung up there. You know, the Bible talks about in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. And it differentiates between the ungodly and the godly there. But the ungodly stands in the way of sinners. What I don't want to do today is block the gate and hinder those from coming into the house of God. But this man was above 40 years old. Acts chapter 4 tells us that every day he was laid at the gate, but he never got inside. I want to help somebody inside. I want to help somebody that might be stuck at the gate get into the house of God. And maybe if we gain the mentality that Peter and John had, they knew they were going into the presence of God. And on their way into the presence of God, they wanted to bring somebody with them. How many want to bring somebody with you into the presence of God so that the same life-changing force that you rejoice in today, and we're rejoicing in the blood of the Lamb today, and we're rejoicing in the cross of Calvary. But friends, it's not exclusive for just me and you. It's for whosoever will. I want to help those that have been stuck at the gate. Maybe church as usual has left them disoriented. Or maybe religion or somebody, someone say praise the Lord. Maybe somebody's not lived the life in front of them. How many have heard that statement? Oh, if they go to church and they're on their way to heaven, I ain't got no problem. Friends, with that attitude, first of all, you do have a problem. Because you've got your eyes on people and you ain't got your eyes on Lord. And you're not going to be judged by what your neighbor does. You're not going to be judged by what your kinfolks does. But you're going to stand before God based on what the Bible says. Good preaching. But some folks are stuck at the gate. I want to do something to help them on in. Can you say praise the Lord? But Peter here, looking at this man, uses these words, look on us. May I paraphrase that today and say, lean on me. Lean on me. Look to the children of God in order to get direction. Can you say amen? I want you to find Matthew chapter number 5. My message today began on my heart several days ago. And I had mentioned this, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, about a man named Penn Jillette. I don't know if you remember me mentioning this individual or not, But Penn is an entertainer, very big, tall guy with a ponytail and a goatee. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about or not. He entertains in Las Vegas, has a magic show. He is a known, staunch atheist. He does not believe in God. He's so much of an atheist that living in California, he has the tag on the back of his car, his license plate says atheist. That's how much of an atheist he is. Anyways, I had a friend post on Facebook where that Penn Jillette was telling a story, videotaping, and he was telling an encounter he had with a Christian. And the encounter he had with this Christian was after one of his performances. This man walks up to him and gives him a Gideon Bible and tells him that God loves him and says, I want to give you this. And inside of it are instructions on how to be saved. And Mr. Jillette was rehearsing this encounter he had with a Christian. And he said, the man looked me right in the eye. And I could tell. You know, he said, I don't believe in God, but I can tell this man really loved me. I can tell how he approached me and the fact he was concerned about my soul. And he started mentioning, he says, you know, if a lot of Christians today really believed in a place called hell, they would act a lot different than they do. They would really try to get out and win somebody. These are words of an atheist. Are y'all with me today? Say amen. Well, I can tell the way he was talking there, he was moved by this child of God sharing the gospel with him. and loving him enough to give him a little Bible. He was moved by that. Well, last week I saw another video clip from this same man. He was on Glenn Beck's TV show. And Glenn Beck asked him the question, would the world be a better place if all Muslims were evangelical Christians? Now, how many understand what I mean when I say an evangelical Christian? We're talking about a Christian that's got a passion to spread the gospel, a Christian that opens their mouth and shares Jesus with those they come in contact with. And Penn Jillette was there, this atheist, said, I believe the world would be a better place. Now, how many just listening to this testimony can tell God's dealing with that man's heart? Now, he's not converted yet, but I know the Lord's working there, and there is a seed that this evangelical Christian planted in the life of this atheist so that something's going to happen. And as I was listening to this story, the thought struck me, you know, he don't believe in God, but he believes in that man. And I want you to know this morning that your neighbors and friends may not believe in God, but let them believe in you. You be the seed. You be the change. May they believe in you. And by believing in you, maybe they will be led to believe in God. Are you with me? How can the world believe in a God they've never seen when Christians that they do see don't live the life that they should? Now you all need to start shouting and holler, amen. So can we, like Peter and John, look at a man stuck in the gate and said, why don't you look at us? Why don't you lean on us? Why don't you believe in us? Now, I don't want you to have total faith and confidence in me the way some have had in ministers that have fallen and their world came crashing down. But I want you to believe in me as a co-laborer with you. I want you to believe in me as the pastor of this church that carries the message of the gospel. And together, let's march into the presence of Jesus. Let's not get stuck at the gate. Let's believe on each other. We need each other. Someone said, well, I can serve God and stay at home. Friends, you cannot serve God and stay at home and be fully obedient to the God I serve and the Bible that I read. The Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but much more so as we see the day approaching. I don't know about you, but I see the day approaching. Hallelujah. Brother Tim, I believe, had that dream of the angel polishing or somebody polishing a trumpet, getting ready to blow, getting ready to use. I'm listening for sounds. I quit looking for signs. Can you say amen? Why don't you lift your hands to heaven and praise Him right now? I believe we can believe in each other. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise You this morning. We thank You. God is so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to believe in your brother. I want you to believe in your sister. Hallelujah. Notice Matthew chapter number 5. We are a light set on a hill. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Verse 16 is critical. You've got to read this with me. It is so important that our light shine. Not that we draw people to ourselves. Not that we magnify or lift up the flesh. Someone say amen. Not that we stroke our pride, but that we point people to Jesus. And we become, as Brother David prayed earlier, that we become a conduit, an avenue, a channel of the glory of God. I wish I was a mirror today, that when you looked at me, instead of seeing me, you seen the one that motivates me, and that is Jesus. I want to point people to Jesus. And this is what verse 16 says. We need to be salt. We need to be light. Why? Let your light so shine before me that they may see. And it says the word your. Are y'all with me today? Somebody needs to believe in you. Your neighbors need to believe in you. Your family needs to believe in you. Your co-workers need to believe in you. And if they believe in you, they may start believing in the God you're serving and trying to imitate. Notice it says that your light, they may see your good works and do what? And glorify your. I like the personal pronoun your. That's possessive. How many is he yours? You claim him. You know him. You can truthfully pray, "My Father, our Father who art in heaven," because you're part of the family of God. He's your possession. I'm his possession. Are y'all with me today? I want to glorify my Father in heaven, and I want people through me, as they see my works, I want them to see him and glorify him as the result. Fast forward 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Hallelujah. My goodness, I feel good today. Am I the only one who feels good today? Wonderful spirit in our church this morning. How many feel the peace of God here? Aren't you thankful? We come together to celebrate our relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, church is not a drearisome task that I have to do, but it's a joy that I want to do. Y'all know the difference here? I mentioned about revival ending last week, and I just wanted to keep it going on somewhere. If I'd have thought of a place to go Thursday, I'd have went. Notice verse 7. And again, thinking on the thought, I want you to believe in me. You can never believe in my God until you believe in me. Notice verse 7. For yourselves know how. You need to listen close at this. You ought to follow us. Now, how many understand that if I'm getting ready to march off of a pier into the water, y'all don't have to mindlessly follow somebody that's wrong? Can y'all say amen? And we know the story of David Koresh, of Jim Jones, and those things I could rehearse of people that mindlessly and blindly followed a man. I'm not asking you to mindlessly and blindly believe in me or follow me. But I'm asking you, as I obey God, as I preach the Word, I'm asking you to obey the Word. I'm asking you with me to follow, amen, out of that gate into the presence of God. And if you're stuck at the gate, if you'll just look on me for a few minutes today, I'll help you out of the gate, all right? And I'll get you into the presence of God, and I'll get you into the house of God. And if you're lame there, that's okay. How many understands the Lord can set things aright so that we can not just be carried into the temple, but we can march into the temple walking and leaping and praising God. It says you ought to follow us. And then he says, for we have not behaved ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul is saying, I conducted myself in a way that did not hinder the gospel. Help me understand that. Nothing wrong with having a pastor and providing a salary and a place for him to stay and all that stuff, as many churches do. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm thankful the Lord is making my way. Amen. This message wasn't intended to get a raise. Somebody say praise the Lord. Verse number 9. It says, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an ensample, an example unto you to follow us. Now, I believe this not only applies to the preacher, I believe it applies to every child of God. How many believe we all need to live a life as an example? And someone says, well, you know, the preacher will be around and someone will let a word slip. Oh, I didn't mean to say that in front of the preacher. How many know? You said it in front of God. If nobody's there, guess what? You still said it in front of God. That's good preaching day. Hallelujah. I want you to fast forward again to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Again, we follow those that follow the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ. May I ask you a question? Are we walking in a way that others should follow? Let me ask you another question. If everyone in this church was just like you, without exception, exactly like you, what kind of church would this church be? Boy, you got quiet. That means you're thinking. The wheels are turning. How many all of a sudden thought, boy, I tell you what, there's something I need to change. I'm hoping so. Amen. But if everyone was just like you, would the doors of this church still be open today? I'll leave that with you. Verse 7. Hebrews 13:7. I said, Brother Ted, you was preaching good there for a minute before you started meddling. Go, took right off of meddling. Now, you was doing great there a minute, you know, but I think it's good either way. Notice this. Brother Ken Turner read this verse last week for pastor appreciation. I'm going to share it once again because there's an important phrase here. Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. This phrase, whose faith follow. I want to follow somebody's faith. How many understand that our faith, like the four individuals who took their friend on a cot to Jesus, and when they got to the place where our Lord was, the crowd was so great they couldn't get inside, so what did they do? They got up on the roof, removed some or part of the tiling of the roof, and let this man down in the house. That man couldn't get in the house. He was stuck not only just at the gate, but he was stuck on a cot until somebody helped him in. Y'all catch that on the way home. And the Bible said when Jesus saw their faith. Now what does faith look like? Is faith a halo we wear around our head? Is faith a three-piece suit? Faith is seen through actions. And when he's saying here, if you've got an example before you, if God has put leaders and people in your path, if God has given you a mentor or someone, glory to God, follow that faith. Grab a hold of that faith. Timothy seen it and followed the faith of his mother and his grandmother, the Bible tells us. And I believe today that we can pass on that faith to the next generation. They can inherit the actions of our life. Some folks say, do as I say, not as I do. They will not imitate your words. They will imitate only your actions, your faith. Someone say, good preaching. I want you to locate Philippians 3. As you're doing it, Paul challenged Timothy, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in truth, in spirit, in purity. I want to give you a word today. Define a word for you, and I want you to hold on to this word. Philippians 3:17. I want to ask you this morning to believe in me. Child of God, I want you to believe in me. And I want folks to believe in you. I want neighbors, family, and friends, I want them to believe in you. If you're in Philippians 3, verse 17, give me another amen. Brethren, be followers together of me. Here we go. And mark them. Why don't you say the word mark? How many are reading that with me? Does it say mark? M-A-R-K. Mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. He's telling us to do something here, to follow together with them. And again, I don't want to lead anyone except the Word of God. And how many understand there's a purpose for Brother Ted reading all these Scriptures? When you leave the assembly, if I have any authority or power over what's spoken, and as the Lord burdens my heart, I'm going to fill you with the Word of God. The Bible tells us in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures how? Daily, whether those things were so. Brother David, I want to challenge somebody to get into the Word of God and make sure I'm preaching right. Amen? Now, someone say praise the Lord. He's telling you to mark. Now, that word in the original language is scopio, and it's where we get the word scope. What's a telescope? Huh? If someone scopes out something, what do? This is the definition of that word. It means to aim at or to spy. Turn to your neighbor and say, spy. I'm going to give you all the opportunity to be a double-knot spy, just like Jethro Bodine with a sixth-grade education. Love them old shows. Somebody say amen. But he's saying here to spy, to aim. And it means to, it was translated into regard, consider, to take heed, to look at, look upon, and to mark. And he's saying look close at someone's life. Watch their behavior. Now that's not saying y'all could sneak around the pastor's house and look in his window. Someone say amen. If I catch you, I'll call the cops. No. Glory to God. But I want you to know we can learn from each other. I was talking to my son, Josh, last night, and I was telling him how that each successive generation should be smarter than the last. Because if we keep our eyes open, we can learn from the mistakes our parents made. How many are with me today? And I told him that I've been able to avoid many mistakes that my daddy made. My daddy's a good man, got saved before he left this life, but he waited till the end. Friends, I want you to know I plan on serving the Lord till the last breath leaves his body. Hallelujah. God is so good. Amen. Why don't you just lift your hands and praise him in this place? He is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I had mentioned this. I've mentioned this on a couple of occasions. And for many of you know that I have been dieting and I've been trying to take care of myself. And the Lord has helped me. And I've lost over 50 pounds in the last 24 weeks. And I just feel the burden of being disciplined in my life and being disciplined in my eating habits. Somebody say good preaching. But how many will wave at me and say, Brother Ted, it's a hard thing to grab a hold of that appetite. It is hard, and a lot of folks struggle with it. And I've told this story before, and I want you to know in no uncertain terms I am not insensitive toward others that's struggling with a weight problem. Can someone say amen? But I feel like I need to share this. I was at a flea market, and many of you may, some I know haven't heard this, but I was at a flea market and went through a booth, and there was a large display rack, cardboard rack of diet pills. Large booth, that was all that was there, was this cardboard rack of diet pills in front. And directly behind that was a precious lady who was quite obese, quite large, sitting on a stool with her legs propped up in her lap with a pizza box folded forward, eating a large pizza. Now, as I walked by, I looked at it, didn't say nothing. Didn't want to be at all calloused or insensitive. How many are on the same wavelength as me today? I'm not being mean. I promise you I'm not being mean. But as I walked away, thinking of those diet pills, I thought, you know, that don't work for you. Don't try to sell it to me. Are y'all with me today? Now, if your Jesus don't work for you, don't try to sell it to somebody else. Come on, are y'all with me today? Zoom in. I know that with how I have worked and the Lord has helped me and blessed me and allowed me to discipline my life, I've had people come to me and ask me, what are you doing? I have had that. I don't know how many times. I know one thing I'm going to do, and I'm going to have to buy me some new clothes. Someone say, praise the Lord. That's a problem I can live with. Amen. Goodwill sells clothes every day. God, praise the Lord. But I get that. During district revival, I had at least three people come up to me and say, are you sick? No, I feel great. But here's the thing. If we've got the solution to a problem, people will seek that solution. And unless our life is such that the world can look and believe on us, they're not going to seek the God we serve. If they can't see that, you know what? They're going to stay stuck at the gate and they'll never get in the temple. If you're with me, say praise the Lord. Sister Betty, will you come to the piano this morning? Feel wonderful in my spirit. Feel wonderful in my heart. And you know, thinking about this man that witnessed to Penn Jillette, can you imagine the enemy trying to intimidate you to go up to this well-known, renowned atheist to share the gospel? Now, just like many of us, we let folks know what we believe. Can you say amen? Well, this man let folks know he's an atheist. So, you know, there's a danger there of being rejected. There's a danger there of being looked silly. But how many understand one soul, what it would be worth? Can you put a price tag on that? And I want you to know that a seed was planted in that man's life. And today, as I said, Penn Jillette don't believe in God. But he believes in that one Christian enough. And he made the statement on national television that it would be better if all Muslims were evangelical Christians. How many can see that? Are y'all with me today? Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him for a moment. Father, we thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. Lord, we honor you for your touch. Thank you for your hand extended. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for your love. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming power for your church and children today. Lord, we just honor you. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all praise. Thank you, sweet Jesus. We just honor you today. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Lord, we're not ashamed of you today. We love you, Lord. We love you because you first loved us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want us just to worship the Lord today. Let him have his way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Friends, I want us to spend some time in the presence of God. Don't get stuck at the gate, but come on in the temple. Come on in the temple. Come on in the temple. I tell you what, come on in leaping and shouting and praising God. Don't get stuck. Don't let the enemy stick you by the gate. Come on in the temple. Jesus, we praise you. I want us to come right now. Let's gather around this altar. Kneel at your seat. Find a place and pray this morning.
The crowd was great, but still she had